Maryland's News Now. On the only station that matters, WBAL.com.
For 5 days, the Syrian regime refused to allow the UN investigators access to the site of the attack that would allegedly exonerate them. Instead, it attacked the area further and systematically destroying evidence. That is not the behavior of a government that has nothing to hide. That is not the action of a regime eager to prove to the world that it had not used chemical weapons.
That was Secretary of State John Kerry less than an hour ago calling a chemical attack in Syria a moral obscenity, and says the president has made it clear to the Assad regime this cannot be violated without consequences. Defense editor for Politico Philip Ewing says President Obama has many weapons at his disposal, but he does not have a silver bullet in this situation. And Phil joins us now to talk more about it. Thanks for being with us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
As you pointed out in a piece that you wrote recently for Politico, most Americans really don't have the stomach for another engagement with another country right now, militarily speaking. Your thoughts on John Kerry's pretty strong statements today. Is this trying to change the public tide?
Well, he did give a very strong statement, but if you listen to what he said very closely, he didn't actually put the U.S. any closer to taking action or start a countdown or issue an ultimatum or anything like that. He wanted to make it clear to the government in Damascus that the U.S., for its purposes, has concluded that it used chemical weapons in that attack last week. You heard Kerry talk about it and that sound we just heard. And however, he did not say, you know, pack your bags, Assad, or get ready for airstrikes or anything like that. It isn't clear to many people in Washington what the next move is going to be, other than the U.S. has decided that, in fact, Assad is guilty and now has to determine what the next step is.
Yeah, and I guess that's the big question for a lot of people. What does it mean to cross the red line, as the president once put it?
Well, so far we don't know, and there's very little different about the situation in Syria, except that there are more Syrians dead than there was 6 months ago or even a year ago when the president first made that red line comment. He doesn't have very many more good options, military intervention, airstrikes, things like that. They will still leave the same dilemmas and problems they would have when we first started to talk about this war all those months ago. And that's why it's such a difficult situation. Just because he feels the tide has turned doesn't make the situation any easier to deal with.
Now, you talked a little bit about what options he may have. And what are they exactly?
Well, the president can do almost anything he wants from a military perspective. He can, strike key points of the Syrian military, communications facilities, its fuel, commanders, supply dumps, things like that. He could order the Air Force and the Navy to attack specific military units that are in battle with the rebel forces there. He can target the regime itself, Assad and his top deputies. The question is, what next? You know, if the U.S. does get involved, does take apart the government, destabilize the government, or even kill Assad himself, what's the next move? And that's the question that no one in Washington seems to have an answer to right now.
And I was wondering, what was the consensus from the experts you've spoken with, at least the most popular one?
Well, the consensus is that this is a situation where you have to manage bad options. There is no good outcome. The rebels give no guarantee themselves that if they took over Syria with the departure or death of Assad, that they would be any better for the Middle East or any better for the United States in terms of our interests or, you know, relationships with our allies. And that's why the position is so bad. Obama has no good way to go. He just has to figure out what he believes will be the least bad option from Washington's perspective.
When looking at the least bad option when it comes to the president's choices and Congress, how much are they going to look at what the public opinion is as to what happened in Syria?
I think that's going to be a big talking point from members of Congress who do not support that robust an intervention. There actually aren't that many members today who are out there saying aggressively, we need to get involved, we need to attack Damascus and the Syrian government, because Americans are so resolutely opposed to getting involved in another war in the Middle East. One poll over the weekend had 60% of people who responded saying that they opposed getting involved. And so this is one difficult thing for the administration to juggle. On the one hand, clearly it feels a sense of outrage and a sense of moral duty to stop the bloodshed in Damascus, but it's very difficult for any government to act in the United States or any democracy unless it has the broad support of its people. And unless the president can make a case to the public or members of Congress are willing to make a case to the public, we may not see that tide turn, which could be one other thing that limits the president's range of action, just because people may not support it.
Phil Ewing, defense editor at Politico, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, thanks for having me.